I'll make it a brief introduction here, but just so you know my history with Chris Smith. Chris is the, I don't know what word you guys use, campus pastor, lead pastor. He's the pastor of People's Church in Indianapolis. That is technically a campus of People's Church in Oklahoma City. And if there's anything that Chris knows, it is how to be a part of a healthy team and be a healthy follower. But gosh, how many years ago did you plant? Almost 8 years ago. So 8 years ago, he called me and he said, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to pastor a church or start a church or do something in Indianapolis. I don't have any plan, but my wife and I, Jamie, we're going to move. We're going to Indianapolis, and I'd rather work for a church than flip burgers. You got any openings? And gosh, we were about 300 people, and I said, yeah, man, I got an opening. You know, it pays like $1,000 a month. It'll change your world, you know? And so he said, okay, I'll do it. And so he kind of stayed on staff at People's Church doing some things in Oklahoma City, and he came and helped us. And what he thought might be a year or two was 6 months. He came and he said, hey, it's been an awesome 6 months. We are going to launch a campus here. And so immediately he went from being on my staff to me being the guy who's constantly picking his brain. How do I do this? How do we do that? And one of the greatest things that they have been able to do since starting the church is lean on volunteer leaders. And I don't mean like, hey, they're volunteers willing to come and shake hands at the door. They have what they call ministry partners, and I'll let him explain that. But I'm talking about people who are giving you double-digit hours a week, basically, to lead ministry. And so even as People's Church now has grown to almost 1,000 people on a weekend, even when they were growing to 400, 500 on a weekend, there was no paid staff. Outside of Chris and Jamie, kids' ministry was led by volunteers. You know, hospitality, Next Steps, led by volunteers. Small groups, led by volunteers. They still have key ministries of the church that are led by volunteers. And so it's something that we need to do better even here at Real Life. And so I asked him if he would come. We talk about how to build great teams. How do we build great volunteer leaders? Thank you. Chris Smith, everybody.
Well, good morning. It's good to see all of y'all. And Adam, thanks for doing this. I think it's fun when we can all get together and learn and grow from one another, and so I appreciate you creating a space for this and inviting everybody and hosting it. And only Adam and his staff knows all the hours and time it goes to put in something like this. And so can we just honor Adam and give it up for him and his staff, man? Thank you for doing this. And yeah, Adam asked me to kind of share about what we've done to have volunteers that are running a big part of a lot of our ministries. And I'll be honest with you, it's really something we kind of stumbled upon. So when you're church planning, you don't necessarily have all the necessary funds to hire all the staff you would like. And there were many times where I thought, hey, let's hire somebody, and the money was not there. And so Pastor Herbert just really worked with me and helped us just focus on who our dream team, who are volunteers that we have around us that we can empower. And so it started off as necessity, and really now it's just become a big part of our culture at all of our campuses, even in Oklahoma City, which runs, you know, 2,500 to 3,000 people. They have volunteers that are running small groups or running major ministries at the church. And so it started as a necessity, and now it's become a part of our culture. Man, what I'm going to share with you, I've just been fortunate and blessed to serve under some pretty incredible leaders, Pastor Herbert and Pastor Scotty Gibbons as well, who's one of our executive pastors. And a lot of what I'm sharing has just been learned from them, their teaching, and our campus being a new church plant was, I guess, a pilot for a lot of this to try out these new methods, because we felt like at some of our other campuses, we were overstaffed. A lot of dollars were locked up into staff that maybe weren't even coming close to producing to what a volunteer staff member could produce. And so so we've, again, there's been a bit of a culture shift, and we've been able to grow and learn from it. And so I'm going to share with you today, I'm going to share a lot of it's from a lot of pain, a lot of mistakes, a lot of trial and error. I've probably equally ran off as many volunteers that we were hoping would be staff that we have kept. But I'm thankful that we at People's Church, we say we're winning and learning. We're never winning and losing. We are winning and learning. And we have learned a lot, a lot. And so I just want to share that with you. So as Adam mentioned, we have what we call ministry partner. I don't believe we came up with that. I think we might have taken that from a church called Central in Las Vegas, but nonetheless, a ministry partner is a volunteer staff member, somebody that may have a full-time job, maybe doesn't have a job, just has time, and they will give us a year, and they will give about a minimum of 10 hours a week. Some give 20 to 30, and we've had various people in various roles serve to this capacity. But for someone to become a ministry partner, we use, we call it our leadership pipeline. And there's three words we use to kind of describe that process. It's called, we call it discover, develop, and deploy. And so most of our, all of our ministry partners are somebody we've discovered, we developed, and then we deployed and asked them to be a ministry partner and to give a year. And some have given more than a year. And it's been really awesome to see people who have full-time jobs and yet have a calling and able to see them still do what they do, but also serve at a high capacity in the church, whether it's leading a ministry or even our admin. She, her husband is, he takes care of the bills and everything, and she didn't have to work, and she'd already been a part of our team, had administrative skills, and so she gives us about 20 hours a week as an admin. God just kind of opened that door when we were thinking maybe we may have to hire somebody, and now we can, you know, use those dollars elsewhere. So so they, again, they can serve in every kind of capacity. And as we've been on this journey over the last, really, so it's been about seven, almost 8 years that we've been on this journey. Here's what I've learned, and it's had to be beaten into my head. I don't know if I always believed it, but I believe it now. It's a conviction of mine. And it's this: every answer to our prayers at our church is in our church. They are walking through our doors every week. And me and my team, we have to go discover them, develop them, and deploy them. And so every answer, they're right there. They're walking through our doors. We have to find them. We have to find the who's. If you think about Jesus, they didn't come to Jesus. Jesus went and found them. They weren't even thinking about Jesus or looking for Jesus. They were in their world doing whatever they did, and he went and he found them, and he said, come. And he said, come and follow me. And then he went on a journey with those disciples. He lived with them. He walked with them. He did ministry. He sent them out, and then he also had them participate, you know what I mean, in things he did. There's things he could have done himself, but he had them be a part of the miracle or what he was doing. There was so much interaction if you look at Jesus and with his disciples. What I've found is when it comes to discover, develop, and deploy, I did this for a number of years, and I see a lot of other churches will do the same. We love to discover and deploy. We don't really love to develop. We love to discover. Oh, you got time? Here's your list. Go, be blessed, take care of this ministry, lead it. And we love to discover it. We love to deploy. And I have done that as well. There've been many people. I'm like, oh yeah, you look like you got what it takes. Here we go, here, you know, and then we release them, and every once in a while you get lucky, but most of the time there are things that are getting fires are being started and not being put out, and there are headaches and there are challenges, and then you're like, oh, why did I do that? Hey, yeah, that's maybe not the place for you. And then people's feelings get hurt, and then they leave your church, or at least they left ours. That's what they did. Every time we just discovered and deployed, and we decided to just bypass the development process hasn't worked out very well. Matter of fact, some of those people, they're staff members at other churches around Indianapolis right now. Man, if only we would have developed, only if we would have been a little bit more patient. But like I said, a lot of learning. We're not losing, we're winning, and we're learning, and we learn from every one of those instances. There were also times we did, you know, when you're a church planner, you're desperate. So there's also times we discovered, deployed, didn't develop, wanted to do the development afterwards, and boy, we absolutely had the wrong people. Like, we had one guy, it was horrible. We had to ask him not to come back. You're not welcome at People's Church. And yet, right off the get-go, he was leading our small groups and discipleship as we're planning a church. And I won't say his name if you need to know it in private, because maybe you've encountered him, but I know he still does ministry. And yet, it was horrible. It was a lesson learned. Here's what I learned from that one. It is better to have no one than the wrong one. It is better for you to live with the pain of that ministry than to have the wrong person leading your ministry. And so I'm going to just, and there's so much to what, oh, did the handouts get passed out? Did y'all get those? Okay. Man, I'm sorry. I'm not as good as Adam. He had to fill in the blanks. I just gave you all the answers, okay? And so maybe you can already look at what I'm teaching, and you're like, oh, I already know this, and you can go to the other session if you would like. But I gave you all the answers, and you can fill in the blanks. One thing I do want to do, and I sincerely mean this with all of my heart, there's no way time can, this has been an eight-year-long journey. We are in the midst of the journey. I am still learning, discover, develop, and deploy on so many different levels. I lead our other campus pastors, and I'm just I told Pastor Herbert last week, I learned something else. I said, keep taking me to school, Pastor. Keep taking me to school. And so I'm still learning so much, and I won't be able to dive into it all, but I will give you my cell phone number. You don't have to call me. You don't have to write it down. But if you had any questions, or you wanted to meet, or you wanted to get something that we have, or a resource that we have, I'd be more than happy to get that to you. And you can just text me with your name and church, because I just know there is, again, with the time, and not that I want more time from Adam, there's just not enough time. I'm going to give you high points, but I believe we're better together. We're all around here. We're in the same city, same state, and I believe I can learn a lot from you, and hopefully you can learn something from me. So if you want to connect and you want to learn more, you got follow-up questions that I won't get to answer even in the Q&A time, here's my number. It's 317-775-8054, and that's not to, I don't have an assistant. That's not to a voicemail. Now, it may go to a voicemail, but it's mine. But if you'll text me, it goes to me. And again, any question I can answer or set up a phone conversation or whatever, would absolutely love to do it and would be honored to do it. Okay? So when it comes to discover, develop, and deploy, and even the things I'm talking about, this is what we do for our staff or for our volunteer staff, but we use the same thing with our staff. I just have more of their time, and I control their schedule. Okay, that's the biggest difference, right? My staff, I control their time. I control their schedule. I have more time with them. But it's the same principles, but with volunteer staff, it is different because many of them are working another job. And so, again, just want to share with you my learns, but know that these things are transferable, okay? And so I want to give you the three development mistakes, as I would call them, three development mistakes. And the first I would say is we give up too quickly. One of the biggest things I've learned about developing leaders, it is hard work, and it takes a lot of time. Prior to, I thought, you know, just tell them to do a couple things on Sunday, and we're good to go, and that's development. Or, yeah, I had a quick phone call, and that's development. No, the people that we're developing to be volunteer staff, even those that we're developing to be team leaders or coaches or captains, we have a one-on-one set up with them. It is weekly, and it is at least an hour long. Development takes lots of time. It takes lots of hard work, but I will say it is worth it. It is worth every bit of the time that is worked, that is invested. I wish it was a one-month process. I believe the level of leadership that person is leading, the more time it will take. And so the guy that leads our small group ministry, it was a journey of, man, you're talking, it was probably about a six-month journey, and it's still going. But it just took time for him to learn and walk beside me. It took that much time for me to learn him and his family and what is his schedule and, okay, what are the things that he's saying yes to that I want him to start saying no to so that he can start saying yes to things at church, because he felt a calling and loved discipleship, and I had to walk with him. And there are seasons in his life where I had to pull back, and there were seasons in his life where I could develop more. There's some weeks he couldn't meet with me. There are weeks I had to move my whole world around to try to meet with him, but it was worth it for me to no longer be carrying the small groups ministry and for him to be leading it to equal to and better than what I could in the current season that was in. And so again, you're talking about, it was about 6 months before I even deployed him. Okay, that whole journey. I'd love to deploy him in a month. All right, man, here's your worksheet. Here's small groups. If you'll do 1 through 10, we'll be good to go. God bless you. Go get that ministry started. Go make it happen. And again, I've tried that before and it hasn't worked out. It has not produced a lot of fruit. And so it's a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of time. It's messy. It's messy. You're diving into people's lives. And everybody has mess. Everybody has issues. Everybody needs to be developed. Everybody has an area that that where they are needing growth. Everybody does. I mean, you think about Jesus. It was messy for him. None of them disciples came ready-made. I mean, Peter's cussing people out and chopping off ears. You know what I mean? Even denied Christ 3 times, and still at the end of it, he had lunch with them, had some fish, had to ask him a couple more questions, and he still sent him off and deployed him. But it was messy. You think about the 3 he took with him in his darkest hour. Them jokers fell asleep. Like, man, you know, we would have been, I'm moving on. You're done. I can't fool with y'all. Y'all falling asleep. But I'm over here praying and crying out to the Lord. And it was messy. They're arguing about stuff and titles. And, you know, like it was not clean. It was. And then one betrayed him. You know what I mean? Even Jesus had one that, man, he washed the brother's feet, did everything he could, and he still betrayed him and stabbed him in the back. And so it's messy, and mess takes time. And if you're going to truly develop somebody, you got to be in their life. You got to be really close to them. It is hard to develop at a distance. And the only way you can get close to somebody is time. I don't know any other way around it. You can have them take all the tests you want them to take. That may show you some things. But if you're truly going to develop somebody, you got to get into their life. You got to know their dreams, their fears, their struggles, and all of it, not just ministry. How is their marriage? How are their kids? We treat these people like we treat any other staff member. Their kids are going through something. I want to be there for them. I want to help them. I want to develop them. I want to share from my own pain and my own experiences. And all that takes time. In my one-on-one meetings, I wish that hour, an hour and a half was always spent talking about ministry. Oftentimes, 30 to 40 minutes may simply be talking about their marriage, their singleness, maybe talking about a relative, a family member. Yeah, I could see why people are like, man, I just don't want to fool with that. Let me just pay somebody. I'm paying you. You do what I tell you to do, and this, and that. And but it is. It's been, again, it's been worth it, and it's been incredibly fruitful to see people grow and thrive. It's been a tremendous blessing for our ministry. So again, I think what happens is we can give up too quickly. It's a process. It's a journey. And if you'll commit to it and you'll truly develop, I believe you will see fruit. And again, there's just so many more depths to that, but I don't want to get stuck there. But I do think that's one of the things that we give up too quickly with somebody. And again, we just want to discover and deploy. And that developmental process, it will take time, a lot of prayer, a lot of processing, a lot of questions. I've learned this too. However many questions I'm asking, there's probably 5 more questions I need to ask. If you're going to truly develop somebody, assumptions have burned me tremendously, and have just had to learn. I got to ask more questions. I got to ask more questions. Okay, I'm hearing that. Okay, I got to ask more questions. I got to dive in, and it just takes time. It just takes time, but I believe the time is worth it. And so I believe one, we give up too quickly. 2, we lead with pressure. I led with pressure. I mean, we got things to get done. People need Jesus, right? Adam said it. People are dying and going to hell. Like, nobody's promised tomorrow. We got goals. We gotta reach people, disciple people. Like, we gotta get some stuff done. I don't got time to just sit around and just talk with you about, like, we gotta move. We gotta make this thing happen. And I would say I've met leaders more driven than me, but I feel like I'm a fairly driven leader. But that has also caused me to drive some people out of my church and away from my leadership, where I was leading with pressure. And so I wasn't patient. I allowed pressure, especially when we're talking about volunteer staff. There were times where I allowed pressure and being driven. I was pushing somebody when I should have pulled back. I was pushing when I shouldn't have pulled back. I wasn't listening. I was let, okay, go ahead, tell me what you need to tell me. And then, but I had an agenda in my mind, and it was a goal, and it was an outcome. I wasn't asking enough questions. And two prime examples, a young lady named Amanda Good, she's still at our church, thank God. She's one of the ones that stayed, praise the Lord. But I had to work really, really hard to keep her. That's another thing, right? If you push somebody, you push too hard, and it causes challenges. Again, most of the folks have left the church. Those that have stayed, I then had to, if I would have spent that much more time in the developmental process and would have pulled back, I would probably still have an incredible leader, and I wouldn't have to spend all the hours it took to keep her and her family at church and amend and make up for the wounds and the challenges that I caused, okay? And it's me. It's my fault, which I'll get into that. That's one of my points. It's all on me. But Amanda, she is like an executive assistant. And we were in a season, she was leading our entire First Impressions ministry. Three services, parking lot, greeters, ushers. Nobody has led this ministry better than Amanda. But when we went to a third service, this was kind of we were still in COVID kind of. So we went, 2020 June, we went back into service. December, with our growth and still spacing, we had to add a third service. And during that time, we went to that third service that was really stretching her. It was pushing her. It was also a time where her boss and her work, they were moving into a brand new facility, and they were being much more demanding of her. And I was trying to teach her how to have boundaries at work with her job, with her employee. What I was totally missing and not listening to was, brother, you better make sure you got some boundaries here at People's Church and what she's doing. And I'm like, yeah, if you figured that out, I felt like I could keep pushing. But I just wasn't listening. I wasn't patient. And so I got the wonderful phone call out of nowhere. I got to step back. And I'm like, and at that point, it's normally too late. Normally. Not always, but it's normally too late. And I tried to make up for it, but I couldn't. It was too late. I knew a couple times she talked to a staff member. I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time. And I just didn't listen. I kept pushing. And that was my fault. If I could do it all over again, I would have pulled back. I would have preferred to help carry that third ministry for her, to keep her long term, to stay with her in a season till work died down, slowed down. She's probably somebody we could have ended up hiring, but I blew it. And it was on me. It was my mistake. It was not on her. But I learned from that, because we have another gentleman named Jay. He probably works 50 hours a week. He's a banker. He's dealing with companies that, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And it's demanding. He's married, two kids. And there was a time where Jay was leading, but things were getting stressful at work and whatnot. And I could tell, like, okay, he's hitting this is getting too hard. I don't know. And at that time, he was leading our small groups and our growth track ministry. Now, again, I was asking enough questions. I was more dialed in. I was meeting with Jay all the time, and I was able to say, hey, you know what, man? I don't see how you can do this. Let me take Growth Track back over, and you just really focus on small groups, because I felt like I had some solutions at Growth Track. And so I was able to pull back, help him out. He got a second breath of fresh air and was able to continue to lead our small groups in a great way. Okay, and he's still leading it today. But there was another time, there was another season where things were getting stressed out. And I'm like, okay, how can I pull back? How can I serve you? There was an event that was going to happen, and one of our staff was like, man, you just need to get a team to do that. And he's like, I work 50 hours. I got two kids. I don't even work here. I'm not even full-time staff. And again, we talked with that staff member. We talked about, please don't talk to Jay. Jay is my leader. I will lead Jay. Don't. Like, you don't know. But I knew he was stressed. I knew he was stressed. No way I would have said that to Jay. No way I would have said, hey, man, you just need to build a better team. I need to keep Jay. I want Jay around. I'm like, AJ, how can I help you? And so I had to, and thankfully Jay did, you know, he was upset for about a week. And so I had to spend a week just really loving and caring and apologizing. That staff member went and apologized to him and was able to give him some relief. And he did need to build a team. So what they said was accurate. It's just like, you don't know any, you are not leading him. You don't know. I've been all up in his world, and I knew that's what he needed to do, but that was not the right time for me to say it. And again, I learned from my mistakes. I'm not going to lead with pressure. I'm going to pull back because I'm better with you than I am without you. Okay, these are people that were producing fruit, great fruit, better fruit than I can. Because if small groups and first impressions falls back on my plate, oh Lord, it's just not going to be that great. And I'm going to be okay with it because I got to stay married and I got to love my kids and you know what I mean? But and so, again, these are just two different examples of one where I wasn't listening. I wasn't as dialed in. She was telling me, and it wasn't so direct she was telling me, but if I was close enough and I would have been listening better, I would have been picking up on her tensions and her pressures, and I would have pulled back. And I've apologized to her. I've told her. I said, man, it's one of the biggest mistakes that I've made. And so she still serves, and I'm thankful for that. But, man, she could have carried a whole load. And it's easy to lead with pressure. It's easy to lead with pressure. And we got to pause, and we got to pull back. We got to know where somebody is really at, what they're really feeling. Because more often than not, they're gonna say, I'm done. And most people have done that. Most people, it's like, hey, I'm stepping back. I'm stepping down. You know, if it's your full-time staff, they're interviewing behind your back, and then they go somewhere else. Hey, I just want to let you know, here's my. And I'm like, man, I don't ever want to be in that position again. How can I be so close to my team and to my volunteer staff that, again, I may not always be able to avoid that, but, again, it takes time. It takes time. We give up too quickly, or we lead with pressure. And I'm not saying this, there are times for pressure. But it's just, it's really reading and knowing somebody and knowing their season. And so it's not a science. And every person is different. And I got to learn them. And the only way I can truly learn them is meeting with them and talking with them. And so, again, a big mistake I made was leading with pressure. And so I hope you can learn from that as well. And then the third mistake is we promote off potential instead of proof. So again, we want to deploy without development, and then we get frustrated when people don't produce results. But oftentimes what happens is we underdevelop and we overpromote, okay? And so now that I'm leading all of our campuses and our staff, we are looking for future staff. We are looking people to hire. We are looking for people to take over ministry. But we refuse to promote or hire off of potential. We want to do it off of proof. And you can be on the dream team, and there are ways that we can train and develop you. There's competencies we can look for so that, because again, we made some bad hires because we hired off of potential, not proof. And these are people within the organization that we could have easily had seen and developed and to see, man, is this really what they can do? And so oftentimes, again, staff at other campuses, they're like, oh, I want to make this person over all of first impressions. I'm like, have they built a team? Have they recruited anybody? Well, no, but they're really good with people. What makes you say they're good with people? Well, I mean, they walk around the hallway and they're so nice. I'm like, I got 5 to 10 people that walk around the hallways that are really nice, but they could not recruit, develop, or add anybody to the team. That doesn't mean that they could be, but you got to develop. Can they recruit somebody? Can they onboard somebody? Can they ask the right questions? Are they loving? Are they care? Like, there's competencies that we can look. There's check boxes. How's their life? How's their personal? I mean, there's so many, right? But too often at times where we've made mistakes, if we've promoted off of potential, and this was Scotty's big thing. He said this, so again, this is not me. He's great with all these words. Anything you hear that got like multiple P's or the D's, Scotty Gibbons is just the master, okay? But it is, you promote off of proof, not off potential, okay? And oftentimes we think developing is, well, I told them. I told them is not develop them, okay? Development is show them, teach them, watch them, and then develop them some more. and we want to promote off of proof, not promote off of potential, because it is better to have no one than to have the wrong one. It is harder to give somebody a title, it's harder to take a title away than to give somebody a title. And so we're looking for the proof before we do that. So we promote off potential instead of proof, okay? Let me give you three development necessities now, okay? These are necessities. Number one is extreme ownership. The book, I think it's called Extreme Ownership. It's by the guy that was in the military, Jocko. And it was just a game changer for me because I was just blaming everybody. Well, if they would do this, well, if they would do that. No. If I would have developed them better. And when I started to take extreme ownership, when it always came back to me, it just changed everything for me. I stopped blaming people and I started owning it and saying, what do I need to do differently? What do I need? How do I need to train them differently, develop them differently? How do I need to teach this differently? What questions do I need to ask to help them go where God wants them to go? Their development is on me. It's on me. It's on me. It's on me. I read a book about leading like Jesus and it said, give them the answers to the test. Like, give them the answers. When you don't let them guess, like, give them the answers and then see, can they produce? Can they get the results? Whatever it is, you know your ministry, you know the benchmarks, you know what you're trying to get done, you know what you're trying to get accomplished. And the moment I said, this is on me, it just changed the way I do my meetings. It changed the questions that I'm asking. I'm gonna do every leader is different. I got some leaders, I changed the way I develop them and they get it really quickly. I got others, they're more novice, but that's okay. It's taking longer, but they're still taking baby steps forward. And I can work with baby steps forward. I just got to keep learning. I think oftentimes we can give people too much credit. Okay, we think they should know, because we're like, well, I know how to do this. Well, again, dude, it's not you. You're leading somebody else. And so oftentimes we lead people from where we are instead of where they are. And extreme ownership changed all of that for me. Oh, it was a game changer. Okay, I got to figure out where they're at. And once I figure that out, okay, how do I develop them? How do I develop them? It takes time. And that goes to number two. So number two is track down the breakdown. Track down the breakdown. I mentioned this earlier, but when you think you've asked enough questions, keep asking. Everybody has a breakdown. Everybody. I got breakdowns. Pastor Herbert does this with me. I've got one right now and some people I'm trying to lead. So it's just tracking down the breakdown and then learning from it. Assumptions, they will hinder your development. And again, I've made too many assumptions. And every time I'm like, I made an assumption. So we had somebody we were developing to be, we wanted her to be a kids pastor. She's like, I want to be in full-time ministry, and we're developing her, and we're developing her as a leader. And then all of a sudden, we kind of find out about Celebrate Recovery, and then all of a sudden, the kids pastor talked to her a little bit more, and they know that she's transitioning out, and she's like, are you wanting me to be the kids pastor? And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, she's like, oh, no, I don't want to do kids ministry. I'm trying to get out of kids ministry. I want to do Celebrate Recovery full-time. And we're like, oh, Lord, we did not track down that breakdown. We did not ask enough questions. Okay, so you want to be called, what does that exactly mean? But because they were in the ministry, we just made an assumption, and they're coming to the kids' leadership track, but they're taking all that and going back to their, they're like, oh, this is so helpful with my Celebrate Recovery. And man, praise God for what they're going to do in Celebrate Recovery, but we just spent 2 to 3 months trying to develop you to be the kids' pastor. Oh, Lord. Painful lesson on that one. Because that kids pastor is going to another campus in August to launch. And that campus is happening. So now we're like, oop, starting back at square one. So we're looking for 3 or 4 people that we can kind of, we got to bring a team together. But man, we could have been doing that 2 months ago if we would have just asked some more questions and didn't make assumptions. And so you got to track down the breakdown. Everybody has a breakdown. And you got to be patient. I'm already going to my third point, which is, again, they're all connected. But then it's just being patient with the process. Once you can track down the breakdown, it's not going to instantly, I wish it was a one meeting and done. When you find the breakdown, oftentimes you're going to spend 3, 4, 5, 6 meetings in a row. Just staying. That's another mistake I made. I talked to them about it once, and I'm like, they should be good. And yet we still have the same breakdown. And Pastor Herbert, I mean, you can't just talk to them once. You got to stay. You got to, until they get their breakthrough, until they get their breakthrough, until you change their thinking, until it becomes a habit, until they fully get it and fully understand it, you got to stay diligent to develop. You got to keep developing on that one thing. Oh, and again, in a life-giving way and in a loving way, I'm not beating anybody over the head, but I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I do it? And listen, to do that, you got to be patient with the process. There are times I want to beat them over the head. There are times I'm frustrated. There are times I'm like, how in the world did you not? Man, we just talked about this. And that's just my own self-talk that I have with the Lord. Sometimes maybe I share it with my wife, unless it's on her leadership because she's my worship pastor. And then I got to go talk to somebody else about it. Like, how in the world did that just happen again? And then I'm like, you know what? It's on me. It's on me. I didn't lead it well enough. We got to talk about it again. We didn't talk about it enough because she's sharp. And my staff are sharp, and they're good people, you know, and every once in a while they're not, and you got to work through that. But I'm saying a lot of times they are, and it's just it's taking extreme ownership. It's being patient with the process. We're winning and learning. Okay, so if I'm winning and learning, my staff is also winning and learning. We're not losing. We're learning. We're learning. We're learning. You got to be flexible. You got to have clarity. Okay, oftentimes I found out I come out of meetings, I said one thing, but what they heard was a completely different thing. So now I'm like, okay, so let's talk about what are we doing moving forward this next week? Oh, yeah. Nope, yep, this is going to be about a 30-minute longer meeting, so we got to talk about that a little bit more because we're not on the same page. But I've just learned from mistakes. I learned from the pain. It takes time. Every person is different. I wish this model could work. It's different for every person. Every person needs to be developed. How they need to be developed is different, every one of them. And that's one of the hardest things. You have to take really good notes. I got to take really good notes for these one-on-one meetings on where they're at and where they're stuck because I can't develop them all the same. They got different love languages. They got different pressures. They have different insecurities. They have different fears. They have different struggles. They're in different seasons of life. And so I got to be a master at knowing them and where they're at. And I got to have really good notes. And I got to ask really good questions so I can truly develop them from where they are at. And again, you got to be patient. So I want to give a time for Q&A if I have time. Adam's my timer over here. So 12:05. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so before I do Q&A real quick, I do want to give you just some practical tips. I'm sorry, these should have been on the notes. If you text me, I can send them to you if you can't write them down fast enough. I want to give you some practical things we do to help develop our staff, okay? Volunteer and regular staff. One thing is we have quarterly goals, okay? Now, we've really refined this. When we do quarterly goals, we're really focusing on what are the top three things? Because you can have 10, and there's just no way you're going to get 10 things done in a quarter. What are the top three? This quarter, what are the top three areas in your ministry you want to improve? The top three. And then who are the top 3 to 5 people you'll be developing this quarter? And so we're trying to get laser, and it's agreed upon, get laser focused. And again, that oftentimes will shape our meetings and what we're talking about. Because we used to just set goals and then we didn't talk about them till the quarter was done. How'd you do? Now they're on a document and we're talking about them every week and we're checking in. How are we doing? And sometimes stuff has to shift, but to the very best, what are the top three things we're working? We're just going to work on three. You know, some of my staff that maybe aren't as far, we're going to do two. Here's just two things we want to do with the youth ministry. Let's just take ground in two areas. Not all develop 3 to 5. Some are maybe developing 2 for my stronger staff. Who are the 3 to 5 that you're developing? But we try to get laser focused on that. And then you got to inspect what you expect. You can't develop what you don't see. You just can't. Can't develop what you don't see. So Sunday mornings, I'm back in the kids ministry when I can be. I preach, but I'm back there. I'm getting my eyes on things. I'm looking at worship. I'm looking at First Impressions team. I go to our youth services. You just can't develop what you don't see. Okay. And then we have a weekly one-on-one. I already mentioned that. So I have a weekly one-on-one with my regular staff as well as my volunteer staff. Every once in a while, I have a person that I do every other week. But for the most part, a weekly one-on-one meeting, it's an hour to an hour and a half. And then we have what we call as a weekly one-on-one tool. Okay, and this is an email that they send to me a day before our meeting, and they answer 7 questions for me. Okay, and they do this every single week. And this just helps guide our meeting and what we're focused on. And honestly, this one-on-one tool, this one-on-one email, it's as much for them as it is for me. It really helps them think through, what am I doing? What am I focused right now? Who am I meeting with? What am I trying to get accomplished? Okay. And so I'll give you the seven questions that we have them answer every single week. Number one, how can I pray for you? I always want to know how I can be praying for my staff. Number two, I want them to write out, what are my top 1 to 3 areas of growth and what am I specifically doing to grow? Everybody needs to be developed. Everybody. Everybody, if I'm leading well, they should know, man, here are the 1 to 3 areas I'm really trying to work on in my life. And sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's as a staff member. Sometimes it's as a husband. Sometimes it's as a wife. It's different for everybody. But want to keep that in front of them. Number three is we're always evaluating Sunday or Wednesday. And so number three, what were your wins and learns? What were your wins and learns? So love to see what they think is winning and love to see what their learns are. Do their learns match up with my learns? Am I seeing what they're seeing? And hopefully they're sharing some things that I'm not seeing because they're in that ministry the whole time and I got to be up and preach and I'm not always everywhere. But it's just a good reference point. And it, man, some of my best development conversations come out of the learns they list. If they're really, now I've had to train some of them, here's what you're looking for here. And so even these questions I'm giving you, it's a journey to help my staff answer these the way I want them to. But man, when we get it really working really well, it has been an incredible tool for us. Number four is where I want them to give me updates or any next steps from our previous meeting. So oftentimes we'll come out of meetings with assignments, people to meet with, you know, certain things to get done. You know, it ebbs and flows depending on the ministry, but that's where they can give me those updates. And so that way I have them ahead of time. So when I go into the meeting, I maybe don't have a question. I do have a question, follow-up question, but it kind of lets me just get updates on whatever we agreed upon and talked about getting done for the next week. And then next is, what am I getting accomplished this week and next week? And so oftentimes here they'll list their meetings, who they're meeting with, things they're working on. And honestly, this is more for them than it is for me. Do they even know what they're working on this week and next week? It also lets them bring up, man, I feel like I'm too thin. I feel like I got too much. I can't get it all done. Great. Let's talk about it. We can talk about anything. Okay. List it out. Give me one of my steps. Literally doing that right now. Man, give me your week. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, yeah, we can make some changes, adjustments. There's some things we can tweak and change. We can work together to make it happen. Number six, this is really important. Questions for my leader. This is where they can ask me any question, ministry related, family, personal, anything they want, any question that they have for me. That way I know their questions ahead of time, and I'm coming into that meeting ready and prepared to answer their questions. I'm also looking at that email and be like, man, I want to talk about this in our meeting. So I send them a quick email back with the answers that are really easy. You know, how many posters? I don't care about how many. 10 posters, all right. But in our meeting, we're going to talk about development. We're going to talk about people. Who are we developing? How we're going? So, but again, at least it helps me know how to lead. And some of the questions I'll answer ahead of time through an email. Or some of them it is. It's like, man, how do I navigate this or navigate that? And then we have a development conversation around that. And then number seven is I want an update on their goals. So on number seven, they put in their quarterly goals, the 3 to 5, the three things that is their priority, and what's our progress there, and then the people they're developing. I want an update on every single one of their people. How's it going? How are they doing? What kind of progress? Where are they stuck? Where are they getting challenged? And I can go and I can read this update, and it helps me to lead them with whatever they may be leading or challenges that they may be facing. And if you need that email to you, I can email it to you as well. So I'll pause for questions if y'all have any, because I think we got about 10 minutes for lunch. So, yes.
So someone that you're closely developing, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it's not like you're done developing, but maybe you can't develop everyone in the church, obviously. Is there a time then when you pull away, and do they get a little miffed because now they don't have as close of a relationship with you because you were kind of the main developer, and then you kind of backed off, maybe handed them off or whatever? How have you dealt with that? I'm just curious.
No, that's such a great question. I'm actually in the midst of that right now, and I would say that's like a 2 to 3 to 4 month process. So I know I'm not going to keep having the one-on-one with this person. I know who I want them to start having the one-on-one with. And so part of my development is to get that other person, building a relationship with them, connecting with them, because it's all about care. It's all about relationship, right? And so even the person I know that's going to develop them, I have to make sure they're building a close relationship, a strong relationship. And we'll hit a point where we'll start talking about in a life-giving way, because, you know, for the most part, most people are reasonable. But if they love the leader that they're going to be going to and serving underneath, it has gone very well. When we've tried to make it quick, like, hey, guess what? We're not meeting anymore. And next week, you're going to start meeting with Adam. That goes really, really bad. But if I can take about 2 to 3 months to kind of work on it and just kind of till the soil, paint the picture of where we're going, because that does have to happen. Some staff have to go underneath somebody else. It's a journey there. It's done in collaboration. So a lot of times I'll lead up to the leaders around me. Hey, what am I missing? What do I need to do here to make that a smooth transition for that person? I want it to be a win-win. You know what I mean? Like, that's really my end goal. But again, everybody's different. And so it depends on the person and the attachment they have. And some will detach a little quicker than others, but it's definitely a process. So great. It's a great question. Sorry, his hand went behind you, Nathan, first, but I'll get around. Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest things I did, one of the most eye-opening moments was sitting down with Herbert and just talking, because, you know, we're always, you know, you look at your meetings and we're like, what are we talking about? And so many of our meetings were talking about systems and stuff like that, and there's a place for that. But a lot of my meetings, it was getting focused more on systems than it was development. And I'm like, I just need to load up my schedule with people. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to raise up people, to develop people. And I control my schedule outside of the meeting that Pastor Herbert asked me to be in. So outside of those, I just changed my whole meeting structure. Like, I just looked at my whole week. The most important thing I can do is develop people. When that became a conviction of mine, I changed around my schedule. I moved around my schedule. I had to move some people off of my schedule. I had to make some every other week. If I can reproduce myself and others and I can develop them, I got out of some meetings that I didn't need to be in that were just focusing maybe more on minutia. And there's just other ways. This is the third time I've heard about Slack. I'm about to jump on, because I still got some meetings. I'm like, why are we talking about it? Man, I can text you how many giveaways we're doing on Mother's Day. We don't need to talk about that in a meeting. Let's talk about people. Who are you developing? Who have you discovered? And so for me, it was a very quick shift because I was kind of already there. And I realized the previous leader we were just spending hours on like systems. And there's just like other people you can empower. They're better at it. I probably have too many right now. I have around 8 to 10. I think 5 to 7 would be more of like a sweet spot. And I'm also working towards, again, that's not fair. We have a new campus pastor that's starting. We have another campus pastor that's finishing. When I get our campus pastors to where I want to get them to, they probably will not be part of my weekly one-on-ones because I also have a staff that I'm leading. So I'm always meeting with my staff. That's not negotiable. My staff, every week we're meeting one-on-ones and my volunteers. But then some of the other campus pastors that I'm leading, we'll get to a point where I'm maybe doing every other week with them and I'm finding other ways. But right now they need so much development, I'm willing to pay the price now for the fruit that's going to come later. So it's a season, even right now. My 8 to 10 meetings is not my preferred, but I got an end goal. I see the fall. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, where some of that is going to shift or change, and I think I'd like to keep it around 7 because I also got staff meetings that I have to lead. And everybody's different. So, again, that's some people you just need 2 to 3, and that's it, and just grow from there. So.
That being the case, is there any scenario under which you might hire or promote somebody based on potential?
Man.
Any scenario that you can think of where that might happen? I'm not trying to twist it, I'm just trying to.
No, it's a great question. I was trying to say we have tried to avoid it at all costs, right? But I can't honestly tell you that we haven't, because right now we're looking at potentially hiring somebody from. Now, we don't like to hire from other churches, too. No offense. If you hire from other church, man, just hire whoever you want to hire. We prefer to hire from within. That is always our first. These people have our DNA. They love our church. But our Oklahoma City campus is growing to such a level that we see somebody that out of relationship. We're trying to dive in. What'd you do? What'd you build? What'd you grow? But, you know, we're just getting somebody's word for it, right? We're not actually seeing it at our place. But we believe it's a place where they can come and we can develop and groom them up. And so it's not like they're not going to be a campus pastor. We will never do that again. We'll never hire a campus pastor. We've hired a campus pastor off potential, and it was the worst experience in the world. We'll never do that again. But somebody that maybe is underneath a staff member, like a small group, so we may do that. But we're really trying not to. We're really trying to lead through volunteers and ready to see the And we're doing that right now. We have a kids pastor. We feel like we've seen the proof. We could have hired her off potential, but we're seeing the proof. And it's just because we did hire one off potential, and she's not on staff anymore. It did not work out. So we really do, I would say, at the size of our organization, there may be a unique situation where we might, but most of the time we wouldn't. Yep. No, stop. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. So when we first started, my staff meetings were at night because almost all my staff were volunteer. So I'd say for the first 4 years of the church, we did an evening staff meeting. Now, I've worked it. It was weekly staff meeting. Now, I've worked it in a way that currently my volunteer staff have some flexibility in their schedule, and I found a weekday where they can come because I would prefer that. And because I was able to make that happen, now we do meet at Thursday at a time. And my volunteer staff, you know, they're not there 100%, so, but I'm okay with it. You know, he may miss every once in a while. But we're just in a season where that works well. But we were in a season where we did all of our meetings in the evening because we had more volunteer staff than we had paid staff. And then it just depends too, right? So like depends on what the ministry partner is. So, you know, if they're my kids pastor, youth pastor, worship pastor, small groups, I typically want them in that staff meeting. But we may have some other people that, you know, like the lady that helps with admin, she's invited to the staff meeting, but it's not like a requirement. And that's another thing too I forgot to mention. When someone signs up to be a ministry partner, we have to agree upon schedule and commitment. They got to feel good. I got to feel good. So that's a part of it too. And Jay, who I was meeting with, his job didn't have flexibility during the day. And so even my one-on-ones with Jay were at night. Now, again, I control my schedule. So I may be going a little bit later. And Jamie knows, hey, listen, I'm going to have these. Or I do it on Wednesday night because, again, I'm not the youth pastor anymore, but I can be in the building and I can do meetings there. And you got to be flexible. My meeting with my volunteer staff, I wish it would be the same time every week. I mean, that would be awesome. Oftentimes, we're texting each other. Hey, man, I can't make it this day. Okay. But I still have pockets that are open where I'm like, well, hey, let's get together at this time. And so there's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of flexibility. But if you'll make time for it, it could be very, very fruitful. Do you have a question, Nathan? Okay, great minds, great minds, great minds, great minds think alike. And that's why I wanted to give you all my number. This is so nuanced. It's so nuanced. All of us are in different places, different spaces, different people. I got some people, they can just give the 10 hours. They can give the 10 hours and they can be there all day Sunday. I'll take it. I got some. When we got Lady Oklahoma City, she gives 40, 50 hours a week. She's leading our prison ministry and our entire small group ministry at Oak. I mean, she's... It's phenomenal. I mean, I wish I had one of those here in Indy. I don't, and that's okay. We work with what we have. But I believe there's somebody, and we'll keep looking, keep trying to discover and see if we can find them. And that's probably the last thing I'll say. We never stop. We never stop, discover, develop, and deploy. I'm looking right now for my next campus pastor. I'm looking for my replacement. I want my kids pastor to replace. Go find somebody that is better than you and have them lead the kids ministry, and I'll give you something else to do. Andrew, go find another youth pastor. Go develop them, train them, raise them up. Jamie, you do not need to lead worship. Now, they better sing as good as you do, all right, but we can't. But go find another worship pastor. They are out there. They are in our building. Like, man, let's... The thing I say to my staff, don't be ministry hoarders.
Stop it. Don't be a ministry hoarder. Raise somebody up. Bring somebody alongside of you. You just never know who's who. I just don't ever want to be limited because of our team, right? Like, I just, people are our greatest resource. So anyway, I could go on and on, but if you have any other questions, you got my number. You can hit me up, and I'd love to talk to you. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I love that you can't develop at a distance. Man, it's really, really good. And we can always make so many excuses to not do that, right? There's lots of things you can fill up your calendar with. So that's huge. I appreciate your transparency as well. I think that says a lot about your leadership, being willing to just own your mistakes and then talk about them with other people. Goes a long, long way. So thank you for helping me, because that is not natural for me. How many of you would say that you're naturally that people person, like investing, listening, you're a good question asker, that kind of stuff? Is that you? Anybody that is not you? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. You were a little shy about it, Scott. So yeah.